Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Manchester United Football Social with Full-Time Devils.
Welcome to the Full-Time Devils takeover of the Manchester Football Social. It is Thursday night, so we talk Manchester United for the next hour, and we love it here on the show. The international break might be upon us, but we are going to be talking. Yes, thank you very much. Actually, I'll introduce you two first. I've got Abdullah and Webby from Full-Time Devils. Gentlemen, you will spend the next hour with me. Good evening.
Evening, Joe.
Evening, Joe. How are you doing?
I'm very, very well. Coming up in this show, we're going to be chatting about all things Manchester United. We're going to have a chat about Paul Pogba. He always seems to open his mouth during the international breaks. Chat about Barcelona tickets as well, how the new camp tickets are a bit more expensive for United fans, and just making sure everything is steady. Get a hold of that wheel, steady it up, and make sure that Ollie's team will come fighting all the way to the end of the season, which is what I'm going to speak to you first about, Webby. Two defeats back-to-back for Manchester United. We need someone like you to let everyone know everything's going to be all right. Is that what you believe?
Yeah, I do, Joe. Obviously, you look at the Arsenal game, it was just that game too much for me. You know, we had the chances. You know, Lukaku puts that away early doors, but he never. But the Wolves game, let's have it right, the better team won. You know, I always thought it was going to be an hard game at Wolves. You know, and on that, they deserve to beat us at Old Trafford in the league this year. He's got them playing well. They've got some great players. And it just seemed we had that many players coming back from injury. We look rusty. Not tired, we look rusty, you know. People like Matic, it takes him 3 or 4 games to get back in his rhythm then.
Yeah.
You know, so it was hard, you know. And we got beat 2-1 and hold my hands up, Wolves deserved it. And I wish them all the best in a semi-final, and they hope they go on and win the cup and it'll stop City getting this quadruple. But no, fair play, the best team won, Joe.
Indeed. 0345 111 7625. Come and have your say. What are you thinking, Manchester United fans? Your first time since that game for you to come and have a chat with us about what happened on the weekend and possibly over the last couple of legs. Now, I know, Abdullah, you'd be all over Full-Time Devils videos and working with the Statman Dave, who's on Monday show. And he probably spoke about this game to death. But one more time for us, Abdul. What happened on the weekend, and like Webby says, is everything all right?
I agree with Webby. I think some of the players were just a bit rusty. We seemed to be slow to every ball in midfield. Paul Pogba just overplaying it, you know, looking a bit of his old self. Looked a bit Van Gaal, Mourinho-esque altogether, a bit dire in midfield, nothing going forward. Not what we've been used to over the last few months with Ollie, and it could just be seen as a one-off game. We've seen us lose to the worst teams under Sir Alex, then go on to win Champions League knockout games. It happens. It's really about how you bounce back, and we've got a bounce back card when we've come back, and I think Ollie's going to get the lads fired up for the coming game. So not worried for now, but overall the Wolves game was disappointing. It's really about what we can do bouncing back, because, you know, like Webby said, they're a top side. They're in touching distance of all the top six, you know, obviously teams. They've challenged them. They've had some good results against them. You know, they've got a good record against all the top sides. So overall, you can't complain too much in regards to how good Wolves are and ending up losing to them. It's just the manner that happened was a bit frustrating, because we just seemed too slow and we ran out of ideas in that game.
That's Lukaku. That's what we did.
Definitely.
We missed him. You know, and I wouldn't have said that.
What turnaround? You wouldn't have said that.
No, but he's the presence there. You know, we look very light up front. You know what I mean? Yeah. That Bowley and that Cody was just like, seemed to dominate physical. And I'm thinking, if Lukaku's up there, he's going to make him think. But you're looking at the game there. We just didn't create anything.
There wasn't
a
run in the box at all. Like, no, Marcus did it the odd time, but because they had 3 centre-halves, I think Jesse was, like, out the game. And I think that's where I would have personally took my itch out. Once that first goal goes in, I would have gone Pogba, Herrera and Jesse move into maybe the eight role like he does for England, and maybe just go for that extra bit of bite and pace in midfield. But you know, we do that shows a lack of quality when we've got to put Scott McTominay up playing off the striker in the end, and matter as well where the options. And you look at City a couple hours before our game, Aguero, Sterling, VAR obviously gave them a bit of a nudge in the end as well. But you know, look at the difference in options and what they can do compared to us.
It's true. This is the Full Time Neville's Takeover, talking in whatever you want to do to talk about. Sorry, that involves Manchester United. We've got James on the line. Hello, James.
Hiya.
How you doing,
James?
James.
Hi, mate.
James, we're going to talk about whatever you want to chat about. So what is it you want to say today?
Well, just while we go about ticket prices, really, I mean, I don't think the people that are coming from Vietnam or Japan should be punished, really, that are paying, you know, these stupid amounts for tickets, because if you had one chance to see United in your life, you'd pay that amount. But it's those annoying touts in the Stratford end, in the singing section, that are selling these tickets for £200-300, the ones that really should be punished for, because it's just a joke, really, that, you know, they're charging a stupid amount for tickets. And, you know, I think people should just charge face value, and they're just ripping fans off, you know, in the away section. I think the tickets in the away end on these websites, and it's like £1,500 for a seat in the away end at Barcelona. It's just mental, right? And I want to have a go at the disabled section as well. Not themselves, but the club. You know, why are they putting Barcelona fans, it's such a good view of the seats, right behind the away stand? They still haven't done anything regarding what's on PSG, Saint Etienne, Juventus. They were fighting as well. And people like, you know, Alex is going to miss out on a quarter final of the European Cup because he doesn't feel safe. You know, I don't know why they moved the cage stand in there and then move the away fans up to ET2, because then, you know, they're right at the top then, and you know, don't get quite as much for a singing section, and that's where the United fans get put in there. They can increase the atmosphere, and we've got a better chance of sort of winning.
James, you know, coming in there, you're spotting us in what you're saying there. I remember a few years back, I think we played PSV in the Champions League, and he put them in tier three, so it can be done.
Yeah,
you know, it can be done. I remember we played Villa as well in the league game, and they put them up there. Yeah. You know, why should these teams come to Old Trafford, get decent seats, which they are in the L stand and the South stand, and then obviously move them over to the K stand, and wherever we go, I don't go to European away games now. I've done all that. I'm quite lucky. We'll speak about it later, about being probably one of 100, 150 went to every round in the treble. It's something I'll always remember. But we always get put up in the gods. Now, I remember my ticket. I've still got it home when we played Barcelona in the group stage in 99, my ticket was £58 English money. Now, when we played in the final, my ticket was £14 and about 800 feet further down. You know, and then I've seen United fans have got to pay €120. It's absolute disgrace. Now, how long is it before UEFA are going to let these teams take the mickey out of the English clubs and more than United, more than anything? You know, it's an absolute joke.
I've seen a thing about a reporter asked someone at UEFA about whether they're going to do a cap on the ticket prices, and the shorter just shrugged it off. They were like, yeah, we are looking at it. There was no, like, you know, understanding or passion about what the fans want and what they need.
That's why the final was held at Wembley again, because Platini, when he was in charge of UEFA, he's seen how much money he could rake out the English punters. You know, for the final tickets, it was an absolute disgrace. I think my final ticket, I got it through a friend, was something like £1,500 for the seat in a football match. You know, for that, I want steak.
I want
unlimited
steak.
It wasn't, Joe, it was a normal seat at Club Wembley. You know, and I'm thinking, well, these people have been, I'm going to pay these prices, and how long is going to continue? Your wafer will continue to do it, because, you know, the English fans will pay it. It's an absolute disgrace. Yeah.
Well, it's €120 that Barcelona are charging United fans, which is the most expensive tickets in United's history outside of a final. And, you know, United aren't doing it back, but they did that earlier on in this season. They fought back a bit. United might look to just make the away fans, when they come to Old Trafford, Barcelona fans, pay a bit more. But it shouldn't be the fans that are getting priced out. It should be the clubs having the cap on them and saying, you can't do that. We should have to punish Barcelona fans. No. United should, and Barcelona need to, you know,
give their heads a wobble.
The
two big clubs, give your heads a wobble. You know, you look at it there, how decent. I'm going about the seats again. You know, you're an away fan there, whether it's a Premier League, FA Cup, Champions League. You come to Old Trafford, you get a great view of the pitch. You're not getting ripped off. You know, and then we go to Europe. Now, I can understand what you're saying about young Alex, because I know he was scared of speaking to his dad. But they've done it again. I don't know what these pyro dogs do at Old Trafford. They're not doing the job. You know, you see them all outside when you go into your seat, and then When that ball's being shaped, they're all getting let off.
Yeah.
You know, so what are they doing? So I'm not saying Barcelona fans are the same as PSG, but I bet you, knocking bet now, they will have flares inside that ground at 8 o'clock when we play them.
The thing is, I think if you look at it, a few years ago, we played Sociedad at Old Trafford, and I think they stuck them in the East Stand here too. And we had that, I think that was the first sort of run of the singing section that they had. And it was a brilliant atmosphere. It was wet, because I think because of how the roof is and everything. United, even when we put our best effort in there at times, I know the atmosphere lacks, it won't catch on. And that day was actually really good atmosphere around Old Trafford because of that. What's wrong with that? Putting them in tier two. We do that with the English clubs, with the likes of City and Liverpool. We put them in tier two in the FA Cup. Why can't we do that in Europe? I just don't understand. There's no reason for it. The safety of disabled fans is the most important thing around there. And for us to allow that to happen to them and the likes of Alex, you know, to miss that game is frustrating. But he's going to be safe enough to go and watch it in their ground away at Barcelona, but can't be safe enough to watch it in the home ground, you know, at Old Trafford. It's shocking.
Yeah, for anyone who doesn't know, Alex Neild is a wonderful fan of Manchester United. He's been on the show many times, his dad, sorry, John Neild, just talking about Manchester United. He doesn't feel safe about going to Old Trafford to watch Barcelona against United just because of where the away fans are. So it's difficult for United fans, but is there any reason why, Webby, you can see that it happens? It can't. There's nothing that stands out.
Do you know what? Abdul's got it spot on there. We draw, say, Ipswich in the FA Cup, they're on tier two.
Yeah.
We draw Liverpool in the FA Cup, they're on tier two. So why can't they put Barcelona up there? Is it something they're scared of upsetting these foreign people? I don't know. I'd love someone from the club to answer. I know the gentleman's on Twitter, is it Trey or something, who organise these singing sections and move them round. He's friends with people at the club and they've knocked him back. So I just can't see what excuse
it's
he can use.
It's not even bad. If you look at it, compare that East Stand tier two. I've sat there myself. It's nowhere near as bad as where I've sat at Sevilla or where some of the guys have sat at Paris all the way up. Like,
oh, you're going to sit at Barcelona in a few weeks' time.
Oh, mate, believe you me, that's going to look.
I've been up there in a few times. And it's like, if you look at Old Trafford, we've got, obviously, North Stand 1, Tier 1, 2,
I've sat in that Sir Alex Tier 3.
Right, well, let me tell you, this is going to be Sir Alex Tier 9. The players, it's unbelievable.
Is
you know,
when
it's that bad and you're paying the top dollar. But United as a club, I've never, ever, for me, my personal view, is looked after their fans when they've gone on foreign soil to get them the best seats, the best everything.
Definitely not.
But it needs to change.
Just about pleasing everyone else, isn't it?
Of course.
What did you make of getting Barcelona, Webby? We've not had you on.
I announced it on Twitter, didn't I? I did the draw and I said Barcelona, City would get Newport County.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to win the best, you've got to beat the best. And at the moment, and I'll tell you what I did watch. I actually watched a bit of the highlights of their game on Monday. I had to turn it off after 10 minutes.
Right.
You know, Messi was frightening, you know, and he scored an hat-trick, you know. But they're not the team they was. I'm not saying they're still not a great team. I think there's a chance we could get at them, but obviously we've got to go over there with a couple of goals and not concede at Old Trafford, and hopefully Messi does his hamstring in within a couple of weeks, because that kid's getting better and better. You know, you keep going on about Messi this, Ronaldo that, but on his day, Messi's the best at anything. And I've said it on this show, the best foreign player or away team player I've seen live at Old Trafford has been Messi when we beat him 1-0, and the kid had been out 4 weeks injured. And they should have had a penalty after 30 seconds. His goals, you act him down.
Yeah.
So you want to see the best players, but I hope he's injured.
Yeah, you do. 0345-111-762-58-7711. You predicted it, Abdullah. And you think United, you know, they aren't going to be the favourites going into that one.
No,
but
they won't.
Looking at it, and from what we saw against Wolves, I kind of thought we were going to win that one. Is it going to be a whitewash?
I don't think it's going to be like where they come out and thrash us. I think we will, you know, go out and have a bit of a clash in midfield with them. The thing is, like, me and Steve were talking about this the other day on Full Time Devils, and we were just saying, like, it could work out for us where, you know, they're a team that play with the ball higher up the pitch, their defenders step out, and that plays into the hands of Marcus Rashford, Jesse Lingard and Martial to get in behind them. And that could be a positive for us, especially go to a new camp, big ground, you know, the atmosphere there. The second leg, it could sort of play into hands in terms of that. It's just for me about how they've been trying to play in central, you know, with Coutinho, Messi coming on the inside. I think our problem is when teams get wide on us, and we've seen that with Di Maria and Mbappe at Old Trafford. You know, once Di Maria was direct on us, he was their best player over two legs, in my opinion, Di Maria. You know, no matter what we think of him, he was brilliant in those two games. And, you know, luckily enough, when he got through in that end of that game, he didn't put that chance away. But it's that sort of, you know, vibe that sort of just makes me think, oh, it's a bit of a risk playing against those really wide players. And luckily, other than Dembele, who could possibly be out for Barca, they love to come on the inside. I think once Matic, Herrera, Pogba on top of their game, and we can get them in full fitness, and Jesse Lingard, they can shut that midfield down like we've seen them do in some of the big games this season. So, yeah, hopefully, you know, that sort of tactical clash happens and we can hit them on the counter.
There's quite a funny story that Ron Atkinson told on MUTV about 1984. I know. You tell the story a lot. Ron Atkinson has hinted that a City Centre hotel might have helped Manchester United side beat Barcelona. He goes on to say in this interview he did with Paddy Crennan that somebody once asked me what was the key moment in the game. I said it was the night before. There was loads of noise in the hotel, lots of fans dotted about, and Maradona liked it and he joined in. So it could have been that, you know, maybe I've won too many the night before. But he says he's never experienced an atmosphere like that, Ron Atkinson, anywhere in the world, at Old Trafford in 1984.
Absolutely bouncing. The ground was shaking, literally shaking, you know, in the scoreboard. You know, it was just one of those nights, you know, because if you look at that Barcelona team, obviously Maradona, Schuster. And about the other nine were all Spanish internationals, you know what I mean? So there was a great team, and obviously I remember watching the first leg, getting beat, Graham Mogg scoring a typical own goal, and the night was unbelievable, you know, just to beat them, you know, because no one gave us a chance, you know. Robbo was unbelievable, like Ray Wilkins, Remy Moses, Arnold Murin, Big Norman, Frank, you know, Kev Moran. It was a great night, great team performance. And then you look at the semi-final as well. You go to the semi-final, we're playing one of the greatest teams in Europe, Juventus, you know, and we drew them 1-1 at Old Trafford, you know. We had a lot of suspensions and injuries. Alan Davies, God rest his soul, scored the goal in the night for us, 1-1. Mm-hmm. We go over to Juventus. And if you look at the Juventus team, you had Zoff, Paolo Rossi, Boniek, Platini, you know, half the Italian team. And Norman gets us 1-1, and Boniek scored the winner in injury time to knock us out 3-2 on aggregate, you know. And I always remember Norman telling me when he comes back, they obviously broke it in the first team, and then Big Ron's puts him in the reserves the day later, you know, getting back down to earth. But great memories, Joe. And obviously, if we can make that noise we did at Old Trafford, like 83, and like it was in 2008 when we beat him, we've got a hell of a chance, hell of a chance.
Hopefully so. 0345 111 7625. Hopefully going live on YouTube for the next part of the show. So good to have your calls and your chat about tickets for United fans, about Ollie and his role at the club and his future at the club, about the team's performances you've witnessed over the last couple of weeks. 0345 111 7625. Come and have your say, and we'll be right back after this.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Manchester United Football Social with Full Time Devils.
Welcome back to the Manchester United Football Social with Full Time Devils. Thank you very much for listening. We started at 6, but we're going live on YouTube right now. Come and say hello. If you want to give us a call and have your say about anything Manchester United, 0345 111 7625. We can come and have a chat about anything, about Ollie's last couple of weeks in charge of United, about Paul Pogba's comments in the international break, always seems to pipe up then, and about ticketing prices for United fans across the world. You know, when people come into United, I've heard of all sorts, the prices people are paying to get to Old Trafford for United against Barcelona. If you want to have a chat about the draw as well, can we get through? 0345 111 7625. Come and have your say. I'm with Abdul and I'm with Webby. Gentlemen, good evening.
Good evening.
Lots of players were, well, not say lots of players, it was a good handful of United players that were in the international break and they were going off and they were going to do their thing. We've had a couple of injuries. Well, a lot of injuries. Now, I don't know who is left. We figured it out. I think it was Valencia. I think it was and Paul Pogba's definitely in there.
Scott McTominay.
Yes. Well, yeah. Rashford pulls out today. Lukaku's out. It's, you know, is it a good thing? Is it a good thing? Are we that bothered?
You know what? It was a master of it, Fergie. Giggs got absolutely slaughtered. Still does to this day about him pulling out on all these internationals. But it benefited us, the club, you know. Meaningless friendlies. Well, saying that, I went to watch Wales versus Trinidad and Tobago last night.
Oh yeah. How
Let me
that?
Tell you what, the game wasn't a great game, but tell you what, those Welsh know how to sing an anthem.
Really?
Oh, I tell you what. Hey, nothing against it. Nothing against it. You know, it was really, really good. Terrible game. Obviously, the main player wasn't playing, Bale and Ramsey and whoever's, but. No, Trinidad just missed Dwight York up front. If he would had York up front, he might have notched. But no, it was a good evening. Went down with Vicky and Mickey Thomas. You know,
how is Mickey T doing?
Yeah, he's struggling a bit at the moment, but we send him all our love. You know,
indeed.
He's a top man and he will beat it. I know that. Great to see him. Spend a few hours with him. But you know, fair play to Wales. You get what you're given. You know what I mean? And they've got average players, but they battle and they won the game 1-0. So. And they got a big game Sunday, but no, fair play to Wales fans. They did light up that ground last night with that anthem. Very impressed.
0345 111 7625. Come and give us a call. You get your call in now. We can get you on before the end of the show. Do you think it's a good thing then that all these players are back fit? Then, well, we're back fit for the time we play our next game. But then again, Abdul, there's no excuses then, you know, because you look at big teams like City and Chelsea and Arsenal, and they can all go, well, we've had players on international break. United, they're best.
They do it a lot, don't they? I think
let me just spot. Did you see that tackle on that Sane?
Tackle on Sane was unbelievable. Yeah, go and check that out if you've not seen
that. Could have ended his career.
It really could.
You know, if you're a City fan or the kid plays for Dortmund or whoever, that's what I mean about some of these meaningless friendlies. You get these plant pots on the other team, try to make a name themselves, try to make a move to a bigger club, and that could have broke his leg, finished his career.
Yeah, you know, it's a disgrace. We've seen that on the international breaks before. Players doing that, and you know, obviously it's a City player, but that's what can potentially happen to some of our players.
And you can hear.
It could
like
do.
On a meaningless game, that means nothing at all.
It does. Right, we've had a couple of incidents. Some have gone our way, a lot of others haven't, and we're going to have a little debate now between us. Your thoughts as well, 0345 111 7625. Because it's international break, we can get into a topic that's not really about United, but more necessarily will affect United, but a football debate as a whole. It's on VAR. Now, it probably gave Abdul one of the best moments of his life, VAR, when Rashford scores that penalty. But at the minute, at the way it is and the state it is of taking very long time for decisions to be made and etc. etc. VAR in football, Webby, your opinions, do you like it?
Absolute joke.
A joke. Well,
my first experience of being in the stadium, VAR, was Huddersfield versus Manchester United last year when they disallowed Mata's goal, when it was 2 yards onside, and then the TV drew a line, it wasn't even straight, to try and explain the decision. Now, you look at the one at Paris, it looks like the foreign VAR would go for that as handball every day. If that was in the Premier League, it wouldn't have happened. But if you look at the handball at Wolves in the Cup, it was a penalty. He didn't even check with VAR. I'm not just saying it because I'm a red. But it was a more of a penalty than the one we got in Paris now. Well,
yeah.
And it proved that now because there's no English referees now left in Europe, is there, because once, we don't use VAR.
Exactly. Once VAR's done right and it's been used over a season or two, it actually, it works pretty well. I watch a lot of Italian football, you see, and I notice it, it's a lot quicker on the decisions. They get the decisions right. There's not a lot of controversy. In the first season, there was at times, but they get stuff done. Whereas us, they use it in the United game, in the FA Cup, but then don't use it in the City game. You've got to use it, otherwise it's not fair how the competition is run. Mm-hmm. You can't use it in one game in the FA Cup and not the other, because then that's an unfair advantage for the other team. And if you want to get the best out of VAR, you got to use it in every opportunity when you can, like in the FA Cup. So it's not working right now in England.
So what's the standard? So it comes in effect in every game next season, correct?
I don't know if they've taken a decision.
Well, if the FA are trying to make a decision, we might as well come back in 8 years' time. Yeah. But they still be messing about that, Mum. Yeah. No, it's got to be. If you look at it right, I'll always remember, and I have to laugh about it because I don't like the football club. Bolton Wanderers scored a goal years and years ago. It was about 8 foot over the line.
Oh,
and
those 2 points. I remember that.
Yeah. Relegating him.
The relegation.
Those two points wouldn't have put Bolton in the mess they are today.
Yeah, I always go back to that goal, you know, where it clearly looks it's over the line.
In the back of the net.
On that.
In the back of the net. Yeah. Is that clear?
It's a joke. You know,
so obviously.
The player's leg was like fully over the line, kicked it out. And that's when you're like.
They've got to use it because today, the matter of fact, nowadays, for the sake of 1 point, could determine somebody's livelihood.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, so that was goal line technology, but other moments as just as offside. And you see how Swansea got knocked out the FA Cup.
Yeah.
And that's unfair for them.
Yeah.
You know, an offside and a penalty, whether it's City or whoever else, you've knocked a team out who've, against the odds.
I just can't understand why they can use it in one game and not the other.
Yeah, that's a disgrace.
You know, it's stupid. Have they not got enough staff? I'd want one of those cabins if they played.
It's not like they're playing in a park or something. They're playing at a Premier League site, pretty much. Swans have been all in the Prem for years, and it's a proper like ground, isn't it? They can use VAR there, surely.
Get in touch 0345 111 7625. Give us a call. The number is along your screen if you're watching on YouTube. Because it's international break as well, we're going to do a little question and answer. If you want us to sort of answer a question you've got, Manchester United related, get into the comment section on YouTube, 87711. We'll have a chat about it. I can see one from Football XD saying, is Rashford overrated?
Yes.
Yes.
It depends who's rating him. I think some of our fans, they get overexcited when certain players do well. But then once something goes wrong for them, they dig them out instantly. I think he's fairly rated by some and overrated, as it happens with a lot of players. I think in the last few games, the reason a lot of people changing their mind with Marcus Rashford, some 3-4 weeks ago, buzzing off him, saying, oh, he should be the United striker, but then asking him to be sold. Like last week, he's been clearly playing with a knock for me since Liverpool. Clearly, he was playing with painkillers half-time against Liverpool, then comes back against Palace 2 days later. He's gone Paris, stuck that penalty away, was running his legs all game, and then he's gone on international duty with England. He definitely needs to recover from the ankle injury. It was bruised.
I'm just having a joke there.
Yeah.
I think, obviously, with Mark, the way he is and the way he stormed into the team, his debut was obviously in the Europa League, then the Premiership. People are just going to say that because they're going to look at other centre-forwards we've had. The kid's only 20. If he stays there, can he beat Rooney's record? You never know. For me, he needs a break.
Yeah.
You know, the kid's only 20. Or whatever it is, 2021. He needs a break. Should be getting more help. But end of the day, one-on-one, I think it's so much that with Marcus, it reminds me of Danny Welbeck in a way. If it's instinctive, he'll score. If he's got time to think, then it starts a bit of a problem. But he's cost us nothing, so give the kid a chance. And
on top of that, you've got to look at all the big games, you know, comes into Arsenal, City, so many big games he's scored in, and obviously Paris as well. And I think, sometimes we've got to think too much. He's not putting them away. But if you look at, you know, the goal against Spurs, goals against Leicester, those moments there. And I think he'll build on it. And for me, sometimes it gets down to hunger, whether the player wants it enough, whether he wants to fight for the badge, whether he wants to keep his place in the side. And I think Marcus has got all of that. And I think he just needs some working on with Ollie over the summer, hopefully over his finishing.
Indeed. So a couple of things for you. If you're watching, listening live, 877-111 on the text, 0345-111-7625. Come and give us a call. If you can't call, get onto YouTube, watch us live and put in the comment sections any questions you've got. Ryan Pearce, I see yours. We'll have a chat about yours in a second, but we're going to go to MJ, who's on the phone. Hello, MJ.
How you doing, mate? You all right?
Yeah, I'm very well. What do you want to speak about, mate?
Basically, I've just got two questions to ask you, the panel this week.
Yeah, mate, what are the two? Give us the first one.
First one is, do you trust Ed Woodward to sign the right players this summer?
Do you trust Ed Woodward?
I wouldn't trust Ed Woodward melting ice. That's my opinion. That is my opinion. The man's a rugby bloke, supports Liverpool. That's all I have to say. You know, but no, but then again, he's always come up with the money. I just don't personally like him. That's my opinion. I think the person in charge of our football club should be a football bloke who loves Manchester United. He loves rugby and supports Liverpool, so there you go.
Do you trust him, MJ?
Absolutely not. And just like the second question is, like, if we just look at since Ferguson and David Gill retired, just like how, for some reason, I think he just likes big name players that are past their prime. Like, look at, if you remember, Falcao. That was just one signing I couldn't understand after he come back from a bad knee injury. Schweinsteiger, another player who was, like, just over the age. And, you know, then we had Sanchez as well. And if you look at Sanchez last year, like, he just wasn't doing anything for Arsenal before he came to us. But another big-name player, and I just got a feeling...
I think everything just seems really commercial around Ed Woodward. What we're hearing as well from when he's sitting down with the players, he's telling them, you know, oh, I'm going to make you this much money because you're going to get this much, you know, sponsorship with Adidas, with this, with that, you know, the next noodle sponsor, the next tractor sponsor, all of that. And that's all we're talking about with him. It's just so frustrating.
He's spot on what he said about David Gill and Ferg, you know.
Yeah.
They're a pair of bullies, and I mean that in a good way. They've done bullying for Manchester United Football Club. Whatever player we wanted, we got.
Yeah.
You know, and to lose both of them at the same time was a right blow. Everyone was about Fergie's going to replace him, but it was a blow losing David Gill because he knew the right people. And it's right, they bullied people into selling players to us, you know, and it was great for us. And Fergie always got the man he wanted, you know what I mean? And it was great. And to lose both of them.
You look at like some of the last ones, I mean. Van Persie, you go to 24 mil, you know, he's just had the season of his life at Arsenal. That's a steal. And then he goes and wins the title for us.
Bullied
Where's him. That from us? Yeah. We don't shop around the Premier League, you know, for me as well. All of his is like, obviously we got Alexis Sanchez, but look, before that, everyone else from outside the Prem, you know, you got to go, you know, for the players that have got that potential and that have got that Premier League experience. Not just about how much commercial money they're going to make the club.
And how much sell them we can get if we do go to sell them, you know. You've got to look at the one there, what stands out for me was Kante.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying he won the league for Leicester on his own, but Chelsea seen it.
Yeah.
What do you want from him? Oh, well, we'll pay it.
Yeah.
Do you know what? If I heard him, he's unhappy at Chelsea, I would go to them.
That's what I'm saying. See, what makes sense this summer is to splash some money at Chelsea for Kante, because it's an unsettling situation for Chelsea right now. You go for Kante. Wan-Bissaka at Palace, he's played two brilliant seasons, you know, with Palace in the Premier League. He's won, I think, the most tackles out of any defender in the Premier League. He's only a young lad, and he's someone that can replace Ashley Young there. That's it. And then you got Ruben Neves, controls the midfield against Wolves, bossed it against us the other day. Those are Premier League players that make sense, that change our side, if you get what I'm saying. And it's not always about the big names, like MJ just said. And let's just see if Ed Woodward's got it in him and he's going to speak to people that understand the football, because all this director of football talk had gone away. We're not going to forget that, Ed Woodward. You do need to get stuff done for us. You need the director of football in to work on transfers from now. The fans aren't going to stand for it anymore. No. And the likes of Paul Pogba, David De Gea will leave if you don't build a team around them. Ed Woodward needs to get that into his head. We need a big summer at Old Trafford, and if we don't, then that's it, the club's over.
Well, That was Abdul. I mean, you told us there, mate. Get your calls in 0345 111 7625. Thank you very much, MJ. If you're watching, make sure you get your comments in. Ryan, I still see your comment. I see your comment. E-T-E-R-T random. I still see your comment. Paul's goals. I don't think it's the real one, although he's got time in his hands. Get your comments in and we'll get to your questions. I'm just going to go to Russell because he's in South Africa. Hello, Russell.
Hello, guys. How are you doing?
Hi, Russell.
Hey, right, let me turn you up, Russell. Russell, how you doing, mate? What do you want to speak about?
Yeah, I mean, I'm doing all right. I mean, in terms of football, not so great with the past two results. But, yeah, generally, I'm doing all right. And I just want to talk about the international break and how I think at this time of the season, it's such a anti-climax. I really don't understand why they cannot find the time to slow it in where it doesn't really affect teams that are challenging for, I don't know, for trophies and for even relegation. You know, if you're a relegation team and, I don't know, there's an international break and you've gathered some momentum and then you have to go for 3 weeks, it comes back. It's just so negative. I don't see the positive side of this international break, to be honest.
I don't think any people like club football can see it. I mean, it's just all...
I'm looking at it now, though, what Russell's just said. I totally understand what he's saying, but Carrington must have been hammered this week. Yeah. You know, normally when United years ago, they had that many... It used to be like one or two players left behind. But surely we would have had a right squad left there this week. You know, and he probably would have played Wales, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
An 11-a-side proper game. You know, but understand what he said. This time of the year when it's... squeaky bum time coming close to it, you know.
Yeah.
You got your cup
such
finals
a for it.
In your Europe. You got your FA Cup. You've got your league decided coming. What is the 8 or 9 games left? And then you throw internationals. Now I know they're qualified, but surely they could have moved them and forgot this stupid friendly. Because if you're a team going for a big prize, and like just say Sane would have broke his leg, put him out for the season, that could have disrupted City.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a meaningless friendly. What's done it in some plant pot? He wants to make a name for himself. Now, for me, he got a red card. I'd ban him for 6 months for that tackle. From international football. Yeah. Let him play his club football, but ban him from that maker thing because that could have broke the kid's leg could have ended his career.
Russell, thank you very much for your call.
Top man, Russell.
0345 111 7625. We're going to go through some quick fire questions here. Rabiot for Manchester United. Do you think he's a good fit? Will he work well at Old Trafford? That's from Ryan Pearce.
A brilliant player. I think he's a great midfielder. Obviously, his attitude sounds like it stinks, unfortunately, Paris.
But you
get him for free. And another Frenchman next to Pogba. Why not switch things up a bit in midfield? Let's make some clever signings like the likes of Juve. Don't always spend the big bucks other than Ronaldo, maybe. But, you know, they make the clever ones like Matuidi from Paris change their team.
ERT random says Martial or Rashford. It's for you, Webby.
Martial just.
And we are going to get into this one.
Marcus
I think
Rashford.
It needs Marcus Rashford all day. Right, we're going to have a chat about a director of football and all of your questions as well on this live chat. If you want to get onto it, YouTube, Full Time Devils, give them a subscribe. If you want to actually have a chat with us on the video, 0345 111 7625, and we'll be right back after this.
Manchester United Football Social. Subscribe to the podcast now and never miss a show. Manchester United Football Social with Full Time Devils.
Welcome back to the Full Time Devils takeover of the Manchester Football Social. Get in touch 0345 111 7625. Rob and Phil, I can see you're waiting to have a chat. Also, get in the comment section as well and come and have your say. John Neal, who's watching, hello, John. Question for Webby: what's the max bid on the shirt for Mickey T?
Which shirt? We've got two shirts.
Two shirts.
We've got the Teddy Sheringham 99 treble shirt, and we've got. A Real Madrid signed Gareth Bale shirt. At the moment, last time I looked, it was £390 by the same gentleman for both shirts. I think it was £140 Bale, £250 Sheringham.
Right, Kane, so you can raise some money for Mickey T.
Get bidding, go to my Twitter thing, you'll see everything there. Great cause. Let's get it up to as much as we can for the great man.
We're going to speak to Rob now, who's on the phone. Hello, Rob.
Hi, Rob.
Are you right?
Yeah, very good, man. You want to talk about sports psychology? Are you more intelligent than me, please? Because I don't know, I wouldn't know much.
I'm a sports psychologist, and I know United have got one. And I just thought of what you think on sports psychology, because I know it's a big thing at United at the minute. what your thoughts on it, really.
In what sort of sense? About like how the players are thinking at this moment in time?
Yeah, it's a lot of it's through the culture at the minute, the culture of the football club and the way it's being run, sort of the organisational culture of it, and just sort of what your thoughts and whether you think it'd be worth players sort of doing, really.
What do you think, Abdul?
Go on, Abdul, you can answer this one.
I don't know much about sports psychology, it couldn't anything makes the difference these days.
If you look at it now, obviously these footballers got that much free time, you know, and that much money, you know, and if things like this could help, you know what I mean? Because I know a few ex-players who said to me they were bored. I'm thinking, how could you be bored, you know, to do something like... Obviously, if you look at it, you start at 10, finish at 1. You all right there? So,
yeah, all right. Sorry.
So, obviously, it's something what they need, you know, and obviously you read about and obviously you see about all these players with the demons, with the gambling and the drugs. And, you know, and people say, I don't feel sorry for them, but I do, because human beings, you know. Yeah. I've seen that, read that in the paper about Merson breaking down on that TV programme. Now, love or hating Paul Merson, he says it how he sees it, and apparently he looks in a bad way, you know, and it's common knowledge what he was doing at Arsenal. He wasn't on his own, it was a drinking club. We had one at United with certain ex-players. Yeah. And it must be hard, so this psychology will help him. But what they do, I don't know, but it must help them because each big club has one.
Rob, what would you do? What are you learning now that could be sort of put onto this United team to get better results?
I think it's all about the culture, to be honest. It's about, since Ollie came in, it's just the football club, the way the football club is running has just completely changed. Like, honestly, you've never seen anything like it. With the way Ollie's come in and done what he's done, it's massive. It's absolutely massive. And the effect of that is unbelievable, especially on the psychology of the players. As you can see, you know, they're playing better on the pitch already, aren't they?
Rob, thank you very much for your call, mate. 0345 111 7625. Come over, you say. We've got Phil in London. Hello, Phil. How you doing, mate?
Hi, Phil.
Hello, guys. How are you?
Hey, Phil. Yeah, not bad, mate. We're bored, Phil.
What do you want to talk about,
You're
Phil?
Bored?
Just bored because, and no football. Yeah,
well, international break, mate.
Not of you. Not of you, Phil.
You've only just come on an international break. I normally live in Germany, so I'm home for the week.
Oh, lovely. Lovely.
What do you want to talk about?
I was actually going to say how great it feels to have Ollie at the wheel.
Hey, great. Keep it coming, mate.
And I wanted to say it because as an older fan from the horrid days before Doherty and what have you, I have something that, you know, I've seen that and I've had that experience of going into the second division. And I know how bad it could be, really bad it can be. And, you know, we've had a few troughs, but Ollie's brought it all back and it's really been exciting to see what he's doing for the club. You know, we've had a couple of defeats, but I can't understand all the fans getting all upset about it.
Do you think...
Phil, what it is, if we're not winning 4-0 by 20 minutes and he needs to go, he's bobbins, he's rubbish, why did he start? It's just the way the world is, social media.
It's like everything's changed since, like, I started watching football properly, you know, once we had Ronaldo, Rooney, that great side. When we used to lose a game, you know, here and there, even some bad FA Cup games against Coventry, I remember once we lost, and I was like, whatever, we'll get on to it next one. Now everyone just has this mad expectation where you've got to batter every team every week.
Indeed.
Can you imagine how schizophrenic they'd be now? If Tommy Doherty was in charge, we'd be winning 6-0 at home and losing 6-0 away, and everybody would be going crazy every week.
You're right, Phil, obviously... Good job Twitter wasn't around social media in the days of Tommy Dot, mate. We'd all be blowing each other up every Saturday. I know what you're saying. I was obviously around your age, and obviously I was not old enough to go in that second division, but people say to me to this day, the best times of their life following United in that second division. And it was ups and downs. You look at your Southampton in the FA Cup, beaten by a team in the second. That's what it's all about, and what people have got to realise, you cannot win every game, full stop.
There's ups and downs in football, no matter what team you support, and we're seeing that with Paris and then two losses, but it's really about how we bounce back, and I think our fans need to start believing and backing the lads a bit more as well when moments like that happen to us.
Indeed, thank you very much.
Cheers, Phil. Enjoy London, mate.
Oh, Phil, let's have a chat now about on YouTube. Let's go over there, see what everyone's talking about. Mentioning Griezmann from...
No.
Would you have a Griezmann?
No, thank you.
No.
I took him. Definitely not now.
I watched him the other week and I didn't realise till 70 minutes he was on.
He did have a bad game. I think it was it wasn't a fair game.
Not for the money he won.
Oh yeah, exactly. I think you're going to have another Sanchez situation, and we don't want any of that now. A couple of years ago, would have took him.
Oh, are you? A couple of years ago.
Wrong time for me. And we don't need him.
Wrong time, wrong air place.
If you could see
his hair. We've seen it.
Nah.
Do you want to Google?
Yeah.
Matt Court says, what's your perfect summer transfer window this season, Abdul?
Perfect summer transfer window?
Yeah, about who getting in.
We get Aaron Wan-Bissaka.
Oh.
We get Jadon Sancho in. If you say perfect, unrealistic. This one's not realistic. I'd love Varane. Varane and Lindelof would be unfair to have, but I'd go Koulibaly to make it a bit more realistic. De Ligt would have been great. But yeah, I'd say, and let me chuck in Wilfred Ndidi from Leicester. Brilliant defensive midfielder. Gets about in the midfield. Has a bit more pace than Nemanja Matic. Distributes the ball well. So I'll go for them for realistic signings. World-class centre-half out of them, and Koulibaly from Napoli.
Webby, anyone like that?
Can't beat Abdullah, can I tell you? That was a dream transfer window. No, obviously, I'm not going to name names because obviously that'll happen over now. Who am I? We need a top-class centre-half, someone who's a bit honourable.
Top of the list.
Do you know what I'd love? I'd love an out-and-out goal scorer. A Ruud van Nistelrooy-esque. Is there anybody about? I'm sure there is people about. But who? I wouldn't know. But yeah. We've got to get at least three or four in world-class. There's no point in just getting players just to add to the squad. If you're not going to improve it, don't buy him. You know, but it's a massive job this summer. We want to get close to Liverpool and City. We have got to buy. And I don't like us spending, but I can't see. Obviously, I think Greenwood will get his chance next year, hopefully, if he stays fit. But then again, if he's going to just play a bit part, I'd rather send him on loan for the season somewhere.
Here's one from Harsad saying, no signing should be more than £50 million this summer. Do you agree with that?
No, I think the markets... I understand him not wanting to overspend. You've got to be clever. I know City has spent crazy amounts of money, but you've got to look at the way they operate. They're not just chucking crazy amounts of money, you know, 70, 80 million at one player. They are sort of splitting it up in the right way at times, and they got Mendy and they got Stones, spent a combined 100 mil. I think Mendy and Laporte is better to look at. And that sorts their defence out. Obviously, he's had his injuries, but when he's played, he's been quality for City. So... you just got to understand where the money deserves to be spent. Jadon Sancho, going to cost you over 70 million, but is a potential, you know, Ballon d'Or, you know, contender in a few years. You never know what happens with him. He's balling out in Dortmund and he's been brilliant. So you've just got to be clever, but you have to spend over 50 million if you want those world-class players, and especially a world-class centre-half. There's no more time to faff about, you know, with getting potential centre-halves. You've got to pay the money for the best defenders, just like Liverpool did with Van Dijk, and we've got to do that this summer.
Webby and Abdullah, we got time for one more question, so let's see what the final question is. Let's have a look. Should the club prioritise Jadon Sancho? Abdullah?
Jadon Sancho. No, I think there are other priorities, and for me it's a world-class centre-half and Aaron Wan-Bissaka from Crystal Palace, because I think City might end up getting him as well, and he's Premier League proven young player and he's looked brilliant. I'm hearing Zaha speaking into his ear, he's trying to convince him not to come to United, so hopefully he doesn't push him away, but you know that would be a great signing for United.
Libby?
Where do you start? You know, obviously, we've mentioned about last season how far we was behind City and we never spent well. We've got to have a good window, whatever it takes. We have got the money there. Obviously, don't pay stupid, but when United go for you, it adds that extra money on. And it's something what we've dealt with for years, so we've got to deal with it, Joe, you know, and we've got to get the people in the right position. Like I said, don't buy anyone just to add to the squad for numbers' sake. If they're not better than what we've already got, don't buy them. So, massive window, and it might take a lot of money to do it right.
Gentlemen, thank you very much for being on the show. That is it. The time is over. The another phone in will be back next Thursday, and we can get more into Manchester United in action. Thank you very much to Abdul and Webby on Full Time Devil. Pleasure. Subscribe and like. And Jimmy's up next with some Pure and Embrace. We'll see you next Thursday.
Manchester United Football Social. Subscribe to the podcast now and never miss a show. Access Manchester.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.